Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Yesterday, you would have seen New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian all over the TV trying to defend herself after an incident that happened last Tuesday. She got a COVID-19 test in her parliamentary office, but then she continued to meet with people afterwards. She didn't self-isolate.
Yeah, I really hope she studied self-defense because she's had to do a lot of it recently.
She has. She was on the Today Show yesterday with Carl Stefanovic, who was asking her some really hard-hitting questions.
I mean, I'm loath to press you on it because I think you do a great job, but, I mean, there's nothing wrong with you saying you had meetings.
Well, it's good to see he's unbiased. I was going, really, Carl? Is this as good as it gets for you? Yeah. I was waiting for him to just turn on her and go full wonker and just like...
So you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Just start,
Why not?
He's softening her up and he's going to land a killer blow, but there was nothing.
No.
But credit to Gladys, she was quite open and honest about what happened last week. She said, look, she wasn't presenting any symptoms. She was asymptomatic. And so she thought, just to be sure, though, I'm gonna take the test.
Look, that's all down to interpretation. I took a test which I really didn't really need to, but I wanted to.
It was the same when she took the Buzzwire, which member of BTS am I test. Turns out she's a sugar.
I didn't know.
I thought she would be more of a Jungkook, but she's sugar. So she took the test, and instead of isolating and waiting for the result, Hutsy, she went back to her office.
Oh, no. So she did the old, do as I say, not as I do trick.
Kind of, yeah. Right, well, she kind of broke her own rules. And she said she did have scheduled meetings, but then there were other people who just suddenly showed up. And apparently they just managed to ram her door down or something because she forgot their office had a door.
Oh,
when she was explaining it yesterday, it sounded to me like what happens when you're on your way home and you feel like you got to use the toilet.
Oh, absolutely.
And so when you rush in the back door, you just drop everything and you immediately park yourself on the toilet and you forget to close the toilet door. This is kind of what happened to Gladys.
I should have closed my door and not had anything to do with anybody, but I didn't because it all happened so fast.
Sometimes it's just happening so fast, you forget to close the door and your partner or the kids walks in on you.
I'm sure she says that stuff that all the politicians say, my door's always open, or maybe she just works part-time at a fish and chip shop and it's got the tassels on the front. I don't know.
The little plastic curtain. Maybe. But she said, look, on that day, while she awaited the results of the test, she tried to do the right thing and stay COVID safe.
Please know that every time anyone comes into contact with me, social distancing, hand sanitization, all those things are always the case.
So keep your hands clean and keep your distance. The same rule she learned when she was dating Wagga MP Tarryl Maguire a few years back.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Funny you should play Guy Sebastian because we all know the yin to his yang is, in fact, Shannon Noel. Those two, final two in Australian Idol, I think it was in 2004.
Oh, God.
Unfortunately, Shannon Noel finished second best, didn't he, in that contest?
Yeah, he was left saying this. What about me? But he still had a very illustrious career. He's still touring and he's busy.
He's still going. Yeah. He's still making headlines. He'll always make headlines. And the recent ones that he's been making is actually on Coffs Harbour because the Hoey Moey pub in Coffs Harbour is where his latest show is taking place, performing for the people.
Not one of our 12 stays, by the way, case you want to stay at the Hoey Moey
Motel. You missed the boat on that one, unfortunately. But while up there, looks like a couple of the overseas residents that were staying in this pub as well had a bit of a problem while he was there.
They still have overseas residents?
Yeah.
Like, I thought they all
never
went
really home.
Are they quarantining there?
I think they'll be quarantining there for a very long time by the sounds of things. But unfortunately, a reptile managed to slither its way around the courtyard of the pub, leaving quite a few people that were staying at the pub to be a little bit scared in need of a hero. So which hero would step up? Shannon Noel, of course.
Knowlesy
stepped
channeled his inner Irwin, did he, to wrangle the snake?
Absolutely. Wow. Here's a bit of audio of him trying to, get the snake out of the situation.
Come on, mate. Come on, mate.
Holy that sounds full on.
The other people are just absolutely freaking out. Shannon Noel's like, yeah, no worries. It's no big deal. I do this sort of stuff all the time. And
did he use some of the techniques that the bouncers used on him outside that strip club up in North Queensland? Yeah. Like, come on, mate, out you go.
That could possibly be the one as well. But hey, like I said, he's no stranger to this sort of thing. He's actually dealt with something similar to this before. This is what he had to say.
Done a couple of times, mate. You know, I just thought, keep away from the sharp end, mainly. But he was giving the boys a bit of a fright. They were obviously never probably seen anything like that before. So,
and you knew it wasn't a brown or a black.
Oh, yeah, no, that's I wouldn't have been going anywhere near him if he was a brown or a taipan or anything like that. So, yeah, no, I knew that he'd, if he'd bit me, I might just draw a bit of blood, but that's about it.
You should know. He's like, yeah, no big deal.
Whatever.
Done this sort of stuff all the time. And it's funny you mentioned...
He's like, I work with Marsha Hines. Like, I've dealt with deadly Australian creatures.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned about that pub thing before, because usually when I think of, you know, Shannon Knoll, I think of a pub as well.
Yeah.
I don't think about snakes. I kind of think about horses, crazy horses, and usually he's the one getting wrangled out of front.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Then last night, got on the phone with my mate Mac. He lives up in Queensland in Hervey Bay, father of two.
Mm-hmm.
And one of his little girls, she's four, and the other one is two, little Mia. And at one point last night while I was on the phone to him, I just heard this horrendous sound in the background. And I'm like, what is happening? Is someone getting murdered there? What's going on? He's like, no, that's the two-year-old.
It's like, we call her the being.
He doesn't even refer to her by name when she's having a meltdown. It's just like the two-year-old. Mm. It's like she transforms into some the sort of creature. It's like he's fed the Mogwai after midnight. Next thing you know, she's turned into a two-year-old. Mm. So he's like, oh, my God, two-year-olds. He said, I thought when we had our first one, like, you know, she was a bit of a handful when she was two, but I thought we had all of the skills and experience we needed to deal with the second one when she turned two. He's like, we knew nothing. Essentially, she is like an animal. That was his words. We feed her, we clean out her enclosure. Yep. Not that she's in an enclosure, but, and that's it. She's like some sort of animal slash creature slash monster.
Yeah, so sometimes she acknowledges the fact that you've done you provided a service for her. That's it.
Yeah.
Gives you a nod.
He's just like, you just get to a stage where I've used every tool in the parent toolkit. I don't know what to do. She's just two, and that's it. And I said, well, good luck when she's a teenager too. Like, I don't know. From what I've heard, it can be more difficult.
If there's any directors out there that are struggling for names for a movie, call it Terrible Twos in 2020. That's a horror movie.
Oh, yeah.
Straight away.
Right there.
Like that.
Mm. But we're curious, mums and dads, guardians, if you have kids, what do you think is the toughest age? My mate reckons it's two, whereas I've got other mates, they've got kids that have grown up, they've gone through their teenage years. I've got two mates that their kids have just turned 18. And they said, they were boys though. So I don't know if there's a difference between girls and boys when it comes to the most difficult age, because they reckon in their later teenage years, the boys were tough.
Yeah, they start rebelling. You know, I was a pretty big rebel back in the day. I'd pick up one of those cartons of milk and it'd say, open up the side. And I'd be like, pull it open, drink it out that side. Just that sort of stuff, you know.
Get grounded for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
1-300-92-1250. We want to hear from you mums and dads and anyone else who's looking after kids. What is the toughest age when it comes to raising the children? Christy from Beegers joined us. Hello, Christy. What do you reckon is the hardest age when it comes to raising kids?
I think it's anywhere between the age of 13 to 18.
Oh, the teenage years.
Once
terrible
they,
teens.
Yeah, they develop the back chat and all of a sudden technology becomes forefront in their mind. Yep, that's the one.
Oh, and they know everything. We've never been before. We were never teenagers. You want to know anything? Ask a teenager.
Yeah, when they bring home those test scores, you're like, well, it looks like you don't know everything. What's going on?
That's it.
What test?
That good.
Thanks for chatting with us, Christy. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Bye.
See ya. Yeah, I guess who needs Google when you got a teenager by the sounds of it, you know?
I know. What's better than having a teenager telling you exactly what to do and, you know, what's what when you're about 35, 40 years of age and they're about 15 or 14?
Yeah, and the minute you go to use those words, when I was your age, you just immediately get the eye roll.
Yeah.
Whatever. We got Kelly from Ulladulla. Welcome, Kelly. What's the toughest age, do you think, when it comes to raising the kids?
17 to 18. Mostly.
Really? So they're almost adults, and you reckon that's the worst age for kids?
Yeah, because they think they're adults.
Oh, okay. They're under the illusion that they can do whatever they want.
Then, of course, the chip is activated, the I know everything chip as well.
And I'm a big boy. You can't tell me what to do. Here's my washing, and can you feed me?
Oh, okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And then the minute they get in trouble with the authorities, you're the first one they call. Yeah. Mom, come and get me.
Yeah, I'm the adult. You can't tell me what to do. Yeah, I can, mate.
Yeah. Have you been trying to leave hints for him to move out of home? You know, you just, like, leave the door unlocked and just sort of, like, pop a bunch of arrows and food pointing towards the door to tell him to.
Well, I've already got four out of home.
Oh, okay. So you're just working on a couple more or something?
Sorry, I've got four more.
Oh, wow. Okay. You're busy, Kelly. Right.
Crazy.
So just waiting to push those last four out of the nest, and then it's Kelly's time.
Yeah, well, if I can stop, I'm foster, so I keep getting more.
Oh, okay. I'll put it on you, Kelly. That's amazing.
Like, yay, we've got no more. And then I'm like, oh, look, we've got an extra bedroom.
Yeah.
He gets home, he's like, who's this new person?
Yeah.
It sounds like you've got a heart it sounds like you've got a heart of gold, obviously, but I'm sure your kindness and your heart of gold doesn't extend as far as, oh, Mum, can you help me with purchasing my first car? It's like, I'm not a millionaire.
No, that's exactly right. It's all childhood is controllable. You're in control.
You are.
You can decide what they have, what they don't have, when they can get it, if they can get it. I say to people, like, when I see people struggling with 2- and 3-year-olds, I'm like, dude, yeah. Good luck.
That's it. It's like once you've handed over those car keys and they've got the license, that's it. That's the that's the keys to the brand new house. The mortgage is over for you.
Yeah, you can say no now.
Kelly's like, come and talk to me in 14 years.
Yeah. Right. Good luck.
Well, thanks for chatting with us and giving us your pearls of wisdom.
Okay, thanks a lot.
See you, Kelly. Yeah, we had some people on Facebook as well sharing their wisdom about which is the worst age.
Yeah, a few varying sort of scales of timelines of difficult age, but I like Natalie's comment the best, saying her daughter had her moments through all stages of childhood. Love her to death, but could have killed her a couple of times. I can really understand why animal mothers in the wild sometimes eat their young. Well played.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
I want to talk about crossing the road. Well, more importantly, crossing driveways, because I walk to and from work and I have a certain path, Hutsy, that I take to avoid having to wait for cars. So I cross at certain spots. But there's one unavoidable spot, and that is the driveway at the Coles in Bega on Carp Street there.
This is true. A very big hot spot in Bega.
It's a one-way driveway, so it's normally people leaving the shops. And so many times I get to the edge of that driveway. I try to cross the road before I get to it so I don't have to deal with the driveway, because we need to figure something out about who has right of way when it comes to pedestrians crossing the driveway and then the cars coming out. Because when a car comes out, I stop for the car.
Yeah, it's bigger than you.
But then the car stops for you. And then you're in this kind of weird Mexican standoff with the driver and you give them a wave and then they give you a harsher wave, maybe even flash the lights at you as if to say, look, I've already stopped. Just move your pedestrian butt across the driveway. I'm waiting for you.
So it's like when you go to the shopping mall and you're going, like, someone goes the same way to go around you.
Yeah.
And then you get stuck in a little do-si-do for a couple
like,
minutes.
Who's going first here? Mm. I think pedestrians have right of way. I don't know. I'd have to look up the proper road rules. There probably are rules for it. Yeah. But as a pedestrian then, if they wave you through, you have that obligatory jog, the obligatory jog, where you sort of start breaking into a run as if to say to the driver, well, thank you for stopping. I'm going to try and make an effort to move faster, but it's not going to last more than maybe a third of the way across the driveway. You know what I mean?
It almost looks like you're doing a hopscotch in the schoolyard. It's like a half skip sort of thing, like you've been sniped from the grandstands.
That's
it. You can't run properly.
I mean, I do not run, Hutsy. Like, unless someone is chasing me with a knife or I'm at a wedding or work function and they've just announced the bar tab's about to run out.
That's it.
They're the only times you'll see Brad running.
Blazing.
So for me, like, I do that half like, oh, like I'm just coming in from the Sydney to surf. Like, oh, I'm just wrapping up at the finish line to make it seem like I'm trying to help them out by moving faster.
Yeah, I definitely do the same thing. I try and cross the road. Even when I'm crossing the road and I can see a car in the distance, maybe someone's next to me, one of my mates or something, they're just walking barely in first gear. And for some reason, I always have to do the half jog across the road like the car's going to run me down, even though it's like 50 metres away.
Like you're making an effort. And the thing is, when you're the driver, if you don't see someone do the half jog, if they just take their time walking across the driveway, that's what you say, oh, yeah, take your time. I've got all day. Like you get angry with people if they don't do the jog. And then do you do this? If the driver stops you in the driveway, do you give the wave?
Yep.
And do you then mouth the words, thank you? Like, you don't say thank you out loud. You go, thank you. Like, you mouth it for some reason. It's like...
Yeah, I do a similar thing when it's like the check in a restaurant where you mouth the words, the check, and you start like, riding in the air, like air riding.
It's like, why don't you just say thank you out loud? I don't get it. So we need to work this out so that we can figure out, just let the drivers through. Yeah. I'm sick of getting into this Mexican standoff every time I go to cross a driveway. So on tomorrow's show, again, more pedestrian talk. We're going to talk about cars that stop in the middle of the driveway. Should you be allowed to slide across the bonnet like you're in an action movie? We're going to discuss that tomorrow on the show.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
Getting down to the business end when it comes to Christmas, what'd you say? It's exactly 4 weeks.
It's 1 month.
1 month,
as of today. Today's the 25th.
Jeez, so yesterday, the last couple of days, I'm like, all right, I don't have to buy many Christmas presents, but I need to start getting myself into gear.
Oh, look at you.
I know.
Mr. Organised.
partner Rachel. Her birthday's right near Christmas, so I'm thinking I've got to buy something for her birthday, something for her for Christmas, our secret Santa here, and maybe one other gift. Like, she usually takes care of the rest. And even then, I struggle with those couple of gifts because I'm useless. But
sure.
Last couple of weeks, I've learned maybe online for me buying stuff, I need to read things a bit more closely before I just jump in and purchase things after the whole accommodation Airbnb thing. Thought I'd go on Amazon, these, you know, these Black Friday things happening soon.
Black
things
Friday, like, right, Friday, yeah.
Getting close to Christmas. Postage may take a while. Time to try and buy something. So I found the perfect gift. I'm like, yep, bought it straight away without even thinking too much about it. Very impulsive of me. Then I sort of scrolled back at it and I saw like expected delivery, estimated delivery, the 22nd of January to the 1st of February. I'm like, that doesn't help me. That's not very good at all, is it?
No. I mean, you could save it for the following year's birthday, I guess, once it finally arrives. But, yeah, rookie mistake.
Straight away, put in, like, basically a refund thing and say, like, all right, maybe I'll try and get the money back. So then I bought it off something else, bought it off a different site. And then that's actually approved. That's coming. It's on its way. Great. Then I get a message back from where I bought it off Amazon saying that it's too late. It's already been shipped out. So I'm like, now I've got two of exactly the same thing. Like, what am I going to do with this whole thing? And then I had the bright spark. I'm like, hang on a sec. Kris Kringle. Maybe I can sort of...
Oh, for your secret Santa.
Yeah, because we've got the Kris Kringle thing going on. I'm like, maybe I can palm one of these off to whoever I've got for the secret Santa, the Kris Kringle.
Because we do have our Christmas work party coming up.
Yep.
Which Rachel is attending, though.
She is attending the party. And I actually found another little glitch in the Matrix as well. As it turns out, I should know this, but her birthday is actually on the same day as our work Christmas party.
Yeah, so she shows up and you give a present to the secret Santa. They unwrap it in front of everyone, including Rachel.
Yeah.
And then, what, later that day or earlier that morning, she's already unwrapped a present that's identical to it? That's going to cause you issues.
I'll tell you what, my plan at the Christmas party is to do what I usually do, drink that many beers that I forget the whole thing. And I'll tell you what, it's going to be a pretty epic game of paper, scissors, rock when they're rocking off to see who opens their present first.
Hutsy will be drinking so much, he'll wake up sometime between January 21st and February 22nd.
Yeah. Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.